If I had a housewarming, I would go and have my, you know how you go to places like, you have a baby shower or something like that, and you go sign up, register. I'd go to Papa Cita's, have my register there. But that's just me. Daniel chapter 9. And we'll begin reading there in verse 24 and read down to verse 27. And we probably won't get through all this evening, but we'll get started with it. I would pray tonight that there would be close attention paid with the Scripture. We're getting into some Scripture tonight that's very difficult to understand without other Scripture to explain where we are, what we're doing. And so if you miss anything tonight, you're going to miss everything. And so what we're about to say tonight was an encouragement to Daniel in the days in which he lived. And I'm going to show that to you. And it ought to be an encouragement to you and I in the days in which we live. Tonight, we can look around and we can have all kinds of negativity concerning the days of hardships, of perilous times, of wars and rumors of wars and ISIS and terrorists and banks and this, that, and the other. And you can walk around here discouraged and like, man, listen, this is horrible. But tonight, it don't have to be so. Tonight, we can look at it from the point of view of a heaven's point of view. You remember that Isaiah 40 talking about looking at it from the eagle, like an eagle? And boy, I tell you, tonight I hope that we can look at this, these days that are coming with an eagle's eye view rather than a human's view. Because you look at the human's view, you're going to get discouraged and even probably get, I don't know, maybe become unfaithful. But boy, when you look at it from God's perspective, you'll see something different. Let's ask God to help us in that as we read. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and with unto the end of the war of desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for the 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for an overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I know all that seems to be hard to understand. We're going to try to make that a little easier tonight with God's help. Father, we come to the name of Jesus. We are thankful for the reading of God's Word. And Father, the depth tonight in which we have read, Father, becomes very difficult to preach. It becomes very hard to understand. And Father, we ask you that you give us the wisdom, give us the ability, Lord, to do as you please tonight, that we'll not walk out of here confused. We'll not walk out of here tonight, God, with just wasting some time. But Father, we'll walk out tonight, God, with an encouragement of our heart, saying that God knows exactly what He's doing and He will finish what He starts. And we love you and appreciate you today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in the context of the Scripture tonight, we find in the whole first part of this chapter 9 of Daniel, we find Daniel and sitting in the year of 538 B.C. Now, that was a long time ago. And as Daniel was sitting there and he began to pick up and read Jeremiah, we see that in verse 2 of chapter 9. And as he read Jeremiah, he knew that the accomplishment of the 70 years was about to end in 536 B.C. And so this was 538. He's 2 years prior to watching and seeing the captivity coming to an end of 70 years. Now, in order for us to really understand this completely tonight, we're going to have to understand, why was Israel in captivity for 70 years? What caused that? Why would Jeremiah prophesy that? And what made Daniel begin to read that? Well, can I say this evening? First of all, just kind of, again, way of a kind of a foundational, is in Leviticus chapter 25 and Leviticus 18 and verse chapter 22, we find that God gives a command and a promise. Now here's the command. The command says that every 7 years you let the land rest. And here's the promise. He said, if you let the land rest every seventh year, that I will give you enough in the sixth year to cover the Sabbath year, which is the seventh year, and you will have enough to provide for the seed for the eighth year. Now get what God says. God says to them, now listen, this is the law that I'm setting forth for the land. On the seventh year, called the Sabbath year, you let the land rest. And if you do that, I promise you, I give you enough in the sixth year to cover the seventh year, and then I'll give you enough seed in the sixth year to take care of the eighth year so you can continue on with provision. That was the command and the promise. Now the result of that, or the reasoning for that, was that if you could be obedient to God and be faithful to the Lord, that will prove your trust in Him. And so as the children of Israel, God once again is bringing a test and bringing a trial to them, saying that if you do what I ask you to do, then I'll do what I tell you that I'm going to do, and everything will be just fine, and everything will work out. And so if you do it like I tell you to do it, it shows that you have faith in me, and that you can trust in me, and that you're not going to work the land at all in the seventh year, because you've got faith in me. And so that's what the purpose was. There came a year of Jubilee, and the year of Jubilee is the 50th year. So you have a seven times of this year, the year of Jubilee, the seventh week of the seventh year, seventh year, seventh year, seventh year. We come to the 50th year, and at the 50th year, God says, according to His law, that the land shall lie at rest, and all the debts that anyone and everybody has is now canceled, and all slaves are freed. It's called the year of Jubilee. It's in the Bible. God said, on the 49th year, He said, I promise to give you enough for the 49th year and the 50th year. That's what God says. So this was a law and this was a promise that God gave to the children of Israel to do. Now here's the timeline. In 1096 B.C., King Saul became king. If you know your Bible of any type, you'll know that they wanted a king. They wanted to be like everybody else, the children of Israel. God was their king, and God was going to give them a king called King David. But the children of Israel, they determined in their mind that they wanted to be like everybody else. And so they pressed God to bring forth a king, and they brought forth the king Saul. In the year 1096 B.C., he became the king of Israel. But he did not enforce this law. And 70 years went by, or 490 years went by, I'm sorry, and it was 70 sevens that they didn't keep. On the seventh year, remember, has to be a year of rest. They skipped 70 of those. And in a 490-year span, they disobeyed the Lord. And so God said, I told you to do something, and you disobeyed me. But I'm not just going to let that go. And sometimes in our minds and our hearts today, we think that if we disobey God, and we just sort of like pick up where we left off, that God's not going to have, there's going to be no consequences of that. That's not true. Because God doesn't judge speedily or because God didn't send fire from heaven today because you sinned today, or God didn't cause some tragedy or some wreck in your life or some problem in your day or something happened, you think, well, I'm scot-free with this sin. I can just move on now. I confess it. I know I'm wrong. I did wrong. But, you know, I'll just go on. And there's no seriousness about it, because when you sin next time, you do the same thing. It's just a process. But God does not just overlook sin. And so we find the children of Israel for 490 years. And God said to them, He said, because of your disobedience for 490 years, He says, I'm going to bring you into exile 70 years. Because you missed the Sabbath year 70 times. God made them. God says, you're not going to get away with this. You're going into captivity. Now, Moses prophesied this 850 years earlier to the children of Israel. In Leviticus chapter 26, look at that for just a moment. Leviticus chapter 26, and I want you to notice 850 years prior to them going into captivity, that Moses, who walked with God, he said some things to the people of God, and he said it in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 34. He said, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that were left alive of you, I will send a fatness into their hearts and the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf, and shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from the sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And so we find the fact today that God says, or Moses said, that these are going to happen with the Sabbath. Now here's the summary of it. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Here's the summary of what God decided to do to the children of Israel because of their disobedience concerning the law of the Sabbath. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 14, and I'm not going to try to go real fast tonight, but I want you to get what I'm saying so you can understand it. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 14, it says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. For they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, that was the Nebuchadnezzar, who slew their young men with the sword of the house of the sanctuary, had no compassion among their young men or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and the princes, and all these that were brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped with the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were the servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. That's 70 years. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. He made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saying Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth had the Lord God of heaven given me. He hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you all of his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. We find the summary of it is that God said that because of this Sabbath, you're now going to be in captivity until Cyrus the king will let you go. Now, this is important tonight to know. Now, while Daniel was reading Jeremiah, he realized a few things. He realized time is very short. He realized that he was very discouraged. He was very desiring of God. Daniel began to desire to know, what is now the future, God of Israel? What is next for our people? We know that they're coming out of the 70-year captivity. We know why. What's next, Lord? And in that chapter 9 in our Daniel, we preached on this last Wednesday. We talked about his prayer, how he began to say, Lord, we've sinned against Thee. We've committed iniquity. We have transgressed against Thee. We have been rebellious against Thee. We've departed from You. Lord, we have absolutely failed. We've become a reproach to any people. We have been a confusion of faces. And Lord, we're just asking You tonight. I'm asking You tonight in the way of concern, in the way of desperation, in the way of depression with God. Lord, I know that our people has been in captivity. I was here. I've been here. I've been here almost the whole time. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, if you remember, is when Nebuchadnezzar came through and he took over the Jerusalem, Israel. That's when it was fulfilled. And he said, Lord, what is next for our people? And the gracious God and the long-suffering of the Lord in chapter 9, in verse 21, the Bible says that He sends a man named Gabriel. He says, a man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning. So Daniel knew of Gabriel because he already saw him. And Gabriel told him, he said, now listen, Daniel. He said, I am come to give you some skill and some understanding. Now Daniel, remember, is now to the place of discouragement, I'm sure, and to the place of being frightful and fearful of the Lord. And God said, and Gabriel said to him, listen, God has commended me. Look at the word commandment. I like this thought, verse 23. At the beginning of the supplications, the commandment came forth. No, it's like this. It was like Daniel, who was so concerned. If you remember what I preached on Wednesday, I talked about when Daniel finally came to that place when he had the Word of God in his hand, and then he got the Word of God in his heart. And then Daniel began to set his face towards God. He began to seek the Lord. He began to speak to God. God in the backside or on the scene that we can't see. Now I could just imagine just by the scripture, I hear God saying, oh, I hear one of my children. The ones that are greatly beloved. That's who I hear. Gabriel, now go. Tell Daniel, my servant, give him the skill and knowledge that he's looking for. I wonder tonight, as you're praying, and as you're breaking into the throne room of grace, and as you are getting hold of God, and you're seeking your face of the Lord, and you're setting your face towards God, and you're speaking unto Him with all your heart, with all that you've got, with great concern and great desperation, and seeking to God and knowing, God, what's next for us? That God will send Gabriel and touch you. Oh, I like the way Gabriel said it. He said, I got the commandment. Oh, the Father said, go. And now I'm here, Daniel. I know that you're discouraged. I know, Daniel, that this 70 years is about up. I know, Daniel, you don't know the future. I know that you're concerned about your people, Israel. But Daniel, I'm here. Don't worry about it, Daniel, any longer. I'm fixing to tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'm fixing to tell you, Daniel, from the beginning to the end. Daniel, I'm fixing to give you a synopsis of what God has in His plans, that the heavenly plan for the children of Israel is about to be told to you, Daniel. And not only to you, Daniel, but all of us after Daniel, who has the privilege and the ability today, with the help of the Spirit of God, to understand the Scriptures, that what we can expect tonight with the children of Israel. But what a God. What a God tonight. And so we find there in this verse we read, verse 24 is where we're at now, and we brought you up to that spot. And I want to bring a message tonight talking about the 70 weeks. See, this world only has 70 weeks left. A lot of those weeks are already done. Not many more weeks left. the beginning of the 70 weeks. And boy, was I want to show you, first of all, before we get into some details, I want to get into the determination here. The Bible says in verse 24, it says 70 weeks are determined. Now, about what we're fixing to talk about, these 70 weeks, friend, it's all about the Jews. We got to get that. If you don't get that tonight, then you miss it. The church is not involved in these 70 weeks. See, what's left for the world tonight is not about the world and not about the church. It's about the Jew. That's what it's about tonight. And so we find it's not about Gentiles. It's not about you. It's not about I. It's not about the world. It's not about the lost. It's about the Jews, these 70 weeks are. And so we've got to understand that. It's about the Jews. And then the Bible tells us in verse 29 and verse 24, it's going to be for 490 years. That's this period. As God told them, and they're going to be 70 years in captivity. And sure enough, it was 70 years. There's going to be 490 years. There's going to be 70 times 7, which is 49 years. The word weeks there means sevens. That's how we get this 70 times 7. If you want to try to figure that out. When it says 70 weeks, that means 70 sevens. 70 times 7, 490 years. We know that a week is a year. He tells us that in the Scripture. We find that it's about 490 years. Number three, it's about canceling of sin. God is telling Daniel, now get with me now. Daniel's now very concerned about the children of Israel, about his country. And he's going to God trying to get some answers. And now Gabriel gave him some answers. He said, let me tell you, Daniel, it's about the Jew now. And it's going to be 490 years. So you know who it's about. You know how long it's going to be. He said, now let me tell you what my determination is between those 490 years, what I'm trying to do. Number one, I am going to cancel all the sin. He says that in verse 24. He says to finish the transgression. Their sin, yes, Israel has sinned, but I'm going to make the end to sins. That's what he says there in verse 24, to make an end of sins. And number three, he says, I'm going to reconcile for iniquity. He mentions three things. He mentions the very fact of the very word of transgression tonight. Because see, the Israelites are in transgression. The Israelites are. That word transgression means rebellion. The word transgress means that you have trespassed. God said you can't go there and they went there. God says you can't go through that, and they went through that. God says you can't worship other idols and other gods, but they did do that. You see, they were in rebellion. The children of Israel, all through, you find from the very beginning up to this point here, in the captivity of Babylon, they were full of rebellion. God would say do, they wouldn't do. God said don't do, they would do. God says, listen, you're hungry. I'm going to send some quail. They don't want quail. God says, you're still hungry. And then I'm going to give you some wafers from heaven. Manna, God called it. They said, listen, we'd rather go back into Egypt and eat some cucumbers and some things of that type and onions. And they said, well, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead you by light. That's at night and the cloud by day. I said, man, we don't want that. We want Moses to be over us. No, we don't want Moses to be over us. Aaron, we don't want Aaron either. So it's just one rebellious people. But God said, during this 490 years, He said, well, I'm going to cancel the sin. I'm going to get this taken care of. The transgression here that is done with the rebellion of my people, He said, I'm going to finish the transgression. I'm going to deal with the children of Israel in this 490 years. The second thing he said is that I'm going to deal with their sin. He says that in the way of to make an end of sins. Now, what does the word sin mean? It means missing the mark. You see, God, from the beginning with choosing Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees, in his mind, in his heart, he was looking for a people. That was an apple of his eye, a people that could bear his name, and a people that could an act of his character, and that he was going to bring the world a Savior. And He was going to bring the world someone that could forgive their sins and that could pay the atonement and could go to the place where they can't go, because God wanted relationship with the people that He created, amen, in His own image. And so God says, I'm going to choose the Israelites. I'm going to choose the Jew to bear My glory, to bear My honor, and to carry My name, and to go into the world and to win the world for the name of Jesus and for the name of God. But you know what happened to Israel? They missed the mark. God says, I'll fix that. He said, I'll finish that transgression, that rebellion. He said, I'll make an end of that sins. The third thing that it tells us about Israel is that God said that He is going to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, the word iniquity tonight would represent or mean tonight a crookedness or a bentness of human nature. And He says that He's going to reconcile that bentness. He's going to reconcile that crookedness of thought. I'm going to fix that the people tonight who are just warped. See, that's iniquity. Iniquity, friend, is not missing the mark. Iniquity tonight is not trespassing, but iniquity is just the old perverseness and the very crookedness and bentness of a mind and of a heart. Amen? So we find that really just is the depravity of man. And so He's going to reconcile that with the children of Israel. For they did have a bent mind. And they did have a crookedness. And so we find it's about canceling sin. He said, secondly, I tell you something else, Daniel, it's about everlasting righteousness. So He tells them in verse 24, He says that I'm going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now He's talking about the Jews now. The Jews, remember, now have come out of the captivity for 70 years because of their sin. And now God's giving Daniel a prophecy. But He's given him encouragement of the prophecy to let him know about the children of Israel. That one day, someday, that God is going to bring in an everlasting righteousness with them. God is going to come and going to do that. And friend, we find it to be true. Now we know in Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus returns for the battle of Armageddon, that you and I, the church, will be along with Him. We also know that tonight, that when He comes, the Bible says that there will be many, many Jews that will be saved. We find that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, as termed there, Jeremiah is talking about a prophecy of the millennial reign. And this is what God's talking about in this chapter of Daniel, verse 24. He's talking about that time of everlasting righteousness. He says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, the Bible tells us in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put My law in their inward parts, I will write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be My people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, that they shall know Me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and an ordinance of the moon and of the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before Me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before Me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven can be measured and the foundations of the earth be searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Now, do you get those last two verses? God is saying in verse 36, He says, if those ordinances depart before Me, in other words, I'm telling you that the children of Israel, I will make the house of Israel a covenant. And by making a covenant with him, I will put in their inward parts, and I'll write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. He said in verse 36 now, he said, if those ordinances that I just told you about, if they depart from before me, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. God's saying, that won't ever happen. Israel will never cease from being a nation. What does it say? Verse 37 says, if heaven above can be measured. Now, can you measure heaven above? No. Bible says, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. Can you search out the foundations of the earth? No. I will also cast off all the seed of Israel. He's saying, okay, now listen. Because you can't measure that, because you can't search that out, he said, friend, then I will not cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, I saith the Lord. So I know that children of Israel has done wrong. And I know they sinned before God. They were rebellious and trespassed. And they're full of iniquity. But God said, I made a covenant with them. And they will be my people. Can you imagine maybe some encouragement now that Daniel's getting? I mean, man, I'm telling you, God's telling him some good things. He said, I'm going to cancel that sin. I'm going to bring in this righteousness. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I want to throw some New Testament in because I don't want nobody to think tonight, well, Brother Larry, you're just all over the Old Testament. And that don't really apply. You know how them people are, those theologians. They think the Old Testament's worthless and useless and we don't need it anymore. Well, if we don't have the Old Testament, we don't need the New Testament. Chapter 11, and look at verse 25. This is old Paul. I think he might know a little bit about something. He said, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You should know what that means. And so all Israel shall be saved. When are they going to be saved? When are all of them going to be saved? Millennial reign. Everlasting righteousness. That's when. All of Israel, friend. They'll come to the time in their life whenever Jesus comes out of the clouds and He'll come about with a sword in His mouth and He'll destroy thousands and millions, with just that sword. And you'll find that the tribulation will begin in the 7 years of tribulation to go forth. And there'll be a time within that time that the children of Israel that are alive will look upon Him and they'll see Him that has been pierced and they'll see Him that has been the Messiah and they'll turn to Him and they'll receive Him and they put their faith in the Messiah and for 1,000 years there'll be an everlasting righteousness. But Israel, we just get to join in. We get to come not on earth to be part of the celebration, but we get to come and be kings and priests. In other words, we're going to be in the management of God. While the children of Israel are going to be managed, we're doing some managing. Amen? Hallelujah! You're the church today, you're not the Jew. But we find in the Scripture that 1,000 years will happen and every nation will turn, who's a Jew, will turn to God. And the Bible says there in our text, in chapter 11 of Romans, verse 20, when verse 20, 7, he says, for this is my covenant unto them, and when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. So that goes right along with Jeremiah chapter 31, right along with Daniel. Turn back to Daniel now. These scriptures I'm going referring to are important to confirm these things. Then he says, not only is it bringing in everlasting righteousness, but it's going to be a sealing up. It is a sealing up. Verse 24. He says, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy. And what God is saying to Daniel is, hey Daniel, I just gave you a truth about the 70 weeks, and it's about the Jew. It's going to be for 490 years. It's going to be about me canceling the sin of the Jews, about me establishing of bringing in an everlasting righteousness. But secondly, or thirdly, I want you to notice, Daniel, I'm telling you to seal this up. It's done. It's finished. There'll be no addition to this. There'll be no additional visions and dreams in this. What I'm telling you is the final. What I'm telling you, it's sealed. It's done. It's through. Nobody's going to get anything else from me. Nobody else is going to hear anything else from me. It is complete. It is done. It's sealed. It's through. I've said what I've said, and it's sealed. Hey, one more thing, Daniel. I just want you to notice that this 490 years is included, is to anoint. See the last verse, last portion of verse 24? To anoint the Most High, the Most Holy. Now, who's the Most Holy? Well, we would probably want to say, well, that must be Jesus. But see, the Most Holy is not Jesus because Jesus hasn't even come yet. You remember, it's about the Jew, and Jesus is the Messiah. He's not the Most Holy to them. It's talking about the sanctuary. It's talking about the millennial temple. It's talking about that, hey, listen, Daniel, I'm going to let you know that the temple's coming back. I'm letting you know, Daniel, that the temple will be built again. For it's going to have to be anointed. It's going to come back. It's going to be better than ever. It's going to be of greater stature than ever before. That this millennial temple, is going to, there's going to be no more rebellion within it. There's going to be no more missing the mark about it. There'll be no more perverseness in it. And all the sin is gone and restored. And friend, we find a millennial temple that will be anointed in the day. And can you just imagine the mind and the heart of Daniel? I bet he said, hallelujah! Well, when he read Jeremiah, he wasn't saying hallelujah. Oh, but when Gabriel came, he put a shot in his arm. He said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's talk about the divisions. Now, see, this encourages me. I don't know about you. Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm crazy about Jesus. All right? I might be crazy in other ways. I might be crazy for the Bible. But I tell you this. The Word of God tonight is so, so perfect and so precise that it brings me to the place is, why would I listen to anything of this world? Why would I search out anything else tonight besides the Bible? Why would I trust in any other man's comments or commentaries or thoughts? Why tonight would I waste my time with anything else than what Jesus is involved in? Whatever Jesus is tonight, I need to fully engage in it. I need to come to the place in my life, and I'm going to stop chasing the rabbit. I'm going to stop messing around with this thing called God and church and Christian life. Hey, listen, tonight, it just put a solidness in my heart, a soundness tonight, to know that we've got the truth and there will be none other, no matter where you search it. And we find that God is telling Gabriel of these 70 weeks that, friend, has happened. The division of it. It comes into three different divisions. We see that in verse 25. He says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to rebuild the Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. That's the first division. And then he says, then it's going to be not only 7 weeks, but 62 weeks. A score is 20. 60. And 2 makes 62 weeks. All right, that's how you read that. Score is 20. 60. Does that make sense? Okay. So we got a time of 7 weeks. We got a time of 62 weeks. And then we have another time as we read through verse 26. Well, verse 27 tells us, he says, he shall confirm the covenant with many with 1 week. And there's another week. All right? And so we have the first 7 weeks is 49 years. The 62 weeks is 434 years. The last week is 7 years. You add all that up, you come to 490 years. That's the end of time. So there's a 490-year plan that God has given to Daniel. Let's talk about the 7 years, which is 7 weeks, which is 49 years. The Bible tells us there in verse 25, he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem." Now, when did that begin? When did that? That was Nehemiah chapter 2. If you want to study it out or anything, you'll find in Nehemiah chapter 2 is the time when the king told Artaxerxes, listen, go and rebuild the temple. That began the time. On that time. That began the day of the beginning of the 49 years. Now, the 49 years is a time when they began to build the temple. And they went back, and if you read Nehemiah, you'll find all that they went through. It was troublous times. It was difficult times. They had people in there that was against them. People in there tried to stop them. And it says that also in the Scripture. It tells us that there in verse 25, it says, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. So that's the times of Nehemiah. All right, so when the king said, start to build the walls, build temple, time began. 49 years later was the end of the Old Testament. There's a 400-year silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You with me? Okay, we're trying to get times here. So the actual time that the was 396 B.C. All right? So when the time it began in the days of Nehemiah, 396 B.C. was the first 7 weeks. Done. Over. Through. All right? Now, that time began on March the 14th, 445 B.C. All right? March the 14th, 445 B.C. began the restoring and the rebuild of Jerusalem. You subtract all that, you come to 396 B.C. after 49 weeks. You'll find the second set of numbers, which was the 62-week, 62 weeks. Now look at verse 26. After 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. Now, the Messiah being cut off tonight is, of course, Jesus. And it's Jesus tonight of the one that will be crucified. All right? Now, if you go to Luke chapter 19, verse 38, you'll find Luke chapter 19, verse 38. The Bible says, well, let's read verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among them, the multitude, said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Now the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem, and the day that they said that he was king, and rightfully so, was the year of April the 6th, 32 A.D. 32 A.D. That's when Jesus came into Jerusalem. That was 434 years later. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 4. Keep your finger there in Luke 19. We're coming back. Matthew 21. In verse 4, the Bible reads, Jesus is saying, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the foal of an ass." It's the same in Luke chapter 19, it's the same account. So when Jesus came, He came as the King. Now turn back to Luke chapter 19. So when Jesus came, it was 434 years later, after the close of the New Testament, which was 396 B.C. And so now we have finished up the 49 weeks, and now we've finished up and come to 434 years. Now we see that Jesus said to them in verse 39, when they said, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Listen to what Jesus said. He answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Now what is Jesus saying to them? Jesus is saying, "Listen, fellas, the King has come. The God in flesh has now come to Jerusalem. And if you don't cry out, the very rocks that He created, because He's the Creator, will cry out." Verse 41. "And when He was come near, He beheld the city, and He wept over it, saying, If thou hast known..." Known what, Jesus? "Known that back in Daniel's day, I was prophesied to show up here in April." Amen? April the 6th, the year 32 A.D., was told back in Daniel. "And now I'm here, if you had known. Even thou, at least in this day, thy day, talking about the day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side, and they shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Well, mark that down in your Bible, the time of thy visitation. Jesus is saying, back in Daniel, God gave Daniel through the help of Gabriel that Jesus was going to come 434 years later, and He will put His foot down in Jerusalem. And that was the visitation from God. And they didn't even know it. Wow. Wow. So what happened? Well, in Luke chapter 23, the Bible says that they brought Jesus to Pilate. Pilate says, I find no fault with this man. In Luke 23, verses 5 through 15, they bring Jesus to Herod. Herod says, there's nothing worthy of death with this man. In verse 18 of chapter 23 of Luke, let's read that. He says, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man." Talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one who was the visitation. He was the King. He was the Messiah that was cut off back in Daniel. They said, "I tell you what to do with this guy. Away with him. Away with him. Just get rid of him. We don't want anything to do with him." In verse 21, they said, and they cried, saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." In Matthew chapter 27, don't turn there, but verse 24 says, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." You know what happened? That day, when Jesus came, and He was riding on that donkey, and He came into town, and some were praising Him and honoring Him, and they confirmed that He was the King. The Jews of that day had a choice to make. Either receive Him or reject Him. What took place that day was, they said, "Crucify." And friend, that ended the 69th week of Daniel. God put a hold. God put a postpone. God has now put a gap between the 69th week and the 7th week. The 7th week is the tribulation period. He has put a hold on it because Israel has chosen not to receive their king. And he refused to bring the kingdom. That's what happened. Oh, but friend, tonight, I can just tell you that the prediction that was made there in Daniel came to be in Luke. Can you just at all make yourself just say, hallelujah. Glory to God. That we've got a book tonight before us that's alive, that's real, and that what it says is what it means, and what it means tonight is going to come true. If Jesus, if the Word of God said they're going to be in captivity for 7 years, and it was, and the Word of God said there's going to be 483 weeks when the Messiah shall be cut off, and the exact time of the Messiah was cut off, it was 483 weeks. Why in the world wouldn't you think tonight when Jesus says, I'm coming back, that He wouldn't? What makes you think tonight as a Christian that He says, I'm going to call you up in the air? Now, friend, why wouldn't tonight you believe that there's a rapture? Why tonight? Wouldn't this cause you to live holier and godlier? And live with a more of a zeal for God and more of an understanding and a hunger for His righteousness and for His truth. Man, I'm telling you, it ought to turn our hearts around. I'll give you something else tonight. Back in Daniel. I got about 3 minutes. I knew I wouldn't finish. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, it says, and after the 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. It says, but not for Himself. What does that mean? What does that mean tonight? Well, this is what it means. It means that Jesus came to be their King and their Messiah. And Jesus died on the cross without them. That's what it means. That means He didn't have anything. He didn't get nothing. He didn't get one thing. He came as a deliverer. He came as their Messiah. He came for the one as the governor. He came the one to rule and to reign over the children of Israel with the purpose of His Father is to win the world by Him. He died on the cross, even forsaken by His Father. And became sin. He knew no sin. But Jesus did say something, though, that I want to bring to our attention in Luke chapter 19 and verse 44. Luke 19 and verse 44. He says, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That was 32 A.D. when Jesus came. In 70 A.D., the Romans came and besieged Jerusalem. It was less than 40 years. Back into our text, we find in verse 26, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Millions of Jews died that day. The whole place, as you see it today, is the way it was left. And the fact that there was absolutely, the city was leveled. The Bible says that the sanctuary, the city shall be destroyed, and it was. The sanctuary shall be destroyed, and it was. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. That flood means many armies will come, and it did with Romans. The end of war, desolations are determined, and it was. Burned with fire. Jesus said in Luke, He said, a stone will be upon a stone, and it wasn't. So that was a prediction by Jesus, and of course came true. It was told in Daniel. And it came true. So we find Daniel being very, very important. Let me give you the calculations so you can write this down so you can know. And I'm done. The beginning of the timetable for these 69 weeks began on March the 14th, year 445. It lasted to March the 14th, year 32. That was 476 years. To March the 14th, 32, to April the 6th of 32 was 24 days. Within that, you got to add 116 days for leap years. Because each they had leap years within those years. Like we have leap years. If you add all that up, it comes to 69 weeks. And when Jesus came, and when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says the Messiah was cut off. God put a hole. And He still has a hole today. But it's been exactly how He said it would be. Well, tonight, Daniel, I guarantee he was shouting it out. Oh, to know that there is a plan for the children of Israel. And can I tell you that during the tribulation period that it's not for the Gentile? It's not for the world. It's called the Jacob's trouble. It's for the Jews. The millennial reign, it's not for the church. It's for the Jews. See, when you understand the Jew, you can understand the Gentile. That's why the church tonight loves the Jews. It's God's people. Amen? It began with the Jew. It will end with the Jew. Isn't it so good tonight that you and I have been grafted in? Amen? The Bible calls us, we've been adopted. And tonight when Jesus comes and died on the cross of Calvary, if you'd put your faith in Him tonight and you'd turn from your wicked ways and trust Christ, He said He'd adopt you into His family. He said He'd graft you in. Tonight you can have eternal life. And your next event will be the rapture. Would you please come to know the Lord today? Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Well, if there's sin in your life tonight, it's time to get it out. Well, if you're crossways with a brother or sister tonight, it's time to get that straight. Oh, tonight, whatever there's in your heart tonight, whatever there is that needs to be dealt with, oh, let God deal with it. Oh, there's so much truth tonight that's been given. So many exactness, perfectness. Tonight, oh, how everything was just lined out and given. There's no room tonight for mistakes. There's no room tonight at all to make a bad choice. You better make the right one tonight. How is it with your soul? Are you hot with God? How is it with your walk tonight? Is your walk well? How about your soul tonight? Are you 100% sure that if you put your head down tonight, you'll never wake up on this side? Where would you wake up? Oh, it's time to get serious and sober. It's time tonight. There's nothing at all that's in the way of the rapture tonight.